In summer 2008, Shad White, a 32-year-old Rhodes Scholar and Harvard Law School graduate, was appointed Mississippi's state auditor by Governor Phil Bryant. In many ways, White's appointment to head a department of 140 people charged with preventing corruption among state officials might have seemed odd. In particular, he was exceedingly young and had no political connections. 11 months later, the youngest state auditor in the country would make international headlines when he exposed the largest public corruption scandal in the nation's poorest state, which also involved one of Mississippi's favorite sons, an NFL Hall of Famer, Brett Favre. Now in the book Mississippi Swindle, Brett Favre and the Welfare Scandal That Shocked America, Shad White tells the story of how a small group of power brokers enriched themselves by misdirecting nearly $100 million in federal money, and how he led a scrappy team of investigators and auditors to bring the culprits to justice. It is a great pleasure to welcome Shad White to the roundtable this morning. Shad, thank you very much for being with us.
No, thank you all for having me. I appreciate it.
Very nice to have you on the program. When did this first hit your radar?
So we got a whistleblower tip in my office, the Office of the State Auditor, back in 2019, the summer of 2019. We, in my state auditor's office in Mississippi, we have the ability to do criminal investigations. So we launched a criminal investigation into what we believed could be fraud involving the welfare fund down here. And ultimately, in 2020, we worked with the DA, arrested six individuals, and then released an audit couple of months later that showed that tens of millions of dollars of welfare funds in Mississippi had been misspent, some benefiting some of the more notable people down here in Mississippi. Ultimately, this became the largest public fraud case in the state's history. And so since then, we've been working on this case. And today, the book that's coming out that I have summarizes the story of what happened down here.
What was the environment that allowed it to happen, in the sense of the playing field that allowed the swindle to even take place in the first place?
Yeah, down here, like many other states, we chose to send our welfare dollars to nonprofits. And the purpose of doing it that way, ideally, is to have the nonprofits perform certain services for needy people. Unfortunately, when you do that, you create the potential for fraud, because once the dollars get to the nonprofit, oversight on nonprofits, both in Mississippi and nationwide, is very lax. And so what we saw down here was a conspiracy between the heads of one of the nonprofits and the head of the agency that handles welfare funds. And just with those basic ingredients of fraud, they were able to misspend over $100 million of welfare funds. And now, fast forward 4 years after we broke the case, seven people have pleaded guilty to either state or federal charges.
When you think about what was done, and I guess in my reading of the book, I mean, it was obviously sneaky, but it also didn't seem that hard, did it?
No, and I think that's true of fraud cases around the country these days. You know, as long as you have two or three people who control a process whereby you're spending money, and those two or three people keep a secret, it's really easy to get away with a fraud scheme and get away with it for a long time. Ultimately, most fraud schemes undoing is a whistleblower. And so in this case, someone inside DHS, the Department of Human Services down here, reported something to the governor of Mississippi. The governor of Mississippi reported it to my office, and that's what led us to start an investigation into the entire matter.
Tell us about John Davis.
John Davis was the head of DHS, and again, that's the agency that handles welfare funds down here. John Davis decided to send a ton of money to one of these nonprofits. And then as part of the scheme that John entered into, he had funds directed to things like a Malibu resort stay for one of his friends. It was actually a Malibu drug rehabilitation facility at a Malibu resort. And they used TANF money to pay for that. And then they of course, covered it up after the fact. Those were the kinds of things that John Davis was engaging in down here with the head of one of the more well-known nonprofits in Mississippi, the Mississippi Community Education Center. And so using mechanisms like that, he was able to, over the course of several years, misspend and fraudulently spend millions and millions of dollars of welfare funds. He's now pleaded guilty to both federal and state charges.
You talk in the book about how often these cases are, and you were encouraged to do this, to handle the case quietly. What was it about that didn't happen in this particular case for you and your office?
Well, you know, my job can be complex in the sense that we have to unravel complex fraud schemes. But at the end of the day, it's actually very simple. You have to tell the truth about what happened with taxpayer money. That's what we do when we release an audit. And so we just followed the law and told the truth to the taxpayers, particularly when we were releasing the big audit back in mid-2020 that told people where all of this TANF money went. And yeah, of course, because of some of the names in the audit and some of the people who were implicated, there were folks who came up to me and said, hey, we don't need to talk too much about this. And that just, I mean, it rubbed me the wrong way, and that's probably a nice way of saying it pissed me off. I don't think that anybody had the right to tell me to be quiet about this case because I work for the taxpayers, and they expect me to tell them what happened to their money. And so really, I found it easy to ignore that criticism and to keep doing my job because at the end of the day, if you're not willing to tell the truth about how taxpayer money is spent, you got to go find something else to do.
You mentioned this, but obviously one of the names in this case, and it's such a big name in the case that it's on the cover of the book, and that's Brett Favre. This is a favorite son, and how did Brett Favre get involved? And he spent a lot of time denying the charges and spent a lot of time attacking you and your office. What ultimately was he guilty of?
So Brett Favre has not been charged with a crime in this case. What we found when we did our investigation is three buckets of money that related to Mr. Favre. The first was $1.1 million that went to Favre Enterprises. And when we dug into that, we found what looked like a contract that required him to give certain speeches, and he didn't give those speeches. Now, we have no idea if he'd seen that contract, but what we know is he got paid $1.1 million. And in Mississippi, if you haven't performed under the contract, you can't get paid those public dollars. So that's bucket one. Bucket two is we found a big chunk of money going to a company called Prevacus, which was an experimental concussion treatment company. Favre was a huge investor in Prevacus, and you can't spend welfare money on something like that, giving it to a company like that. Just a few weeks ago, the head of Prevacus, a guy named Jacob Van Landingham, pleaded guilty to wire fraud charges, federal charges. And so that was that bucket. And then the third bucket of funds were funds that we found that went to pay for a very fancy volleyball court at the University of Southern Mississippi. That's, of course, where Favre attended school, where he played football. His daughter was there. She's a volleyball player. And what we identified there is that the money had gone to build this volleyball facility, which is not allowed under TANF rules. And also, we couldn't find any evidence that the volleyball facility had been beneficial to the poor in Hattiesburg. So those were the three buckets of funds. We released an audit that discussed all this and showed the public this. It's just an audit, so it's just sterile language about where the money went and what happened to it. Shortly after that, Mr. Favre texted one of his associates, we know now, and said that he wanted to stick it to them. I take it that them is me in my office. He later went on social media and said this was all a lie. He sued me for defamation, for talking about what happened down here and the uses of taxpayer dollars. And so every time I tell the truth, it seems to make them angrier and angrier. But my job is to tell the truth regardless of how somebody feels about it. My job is to tell the taxpayers what happened to their money.
You hold degrees from the University of Mississippi. You're a Rhodes Scholar at the University of Oxford and also a graduate from Harvard Law School. And there you are in Mississippi in the state auditor's office. I'm sure that if you ventured outside, you, sir, could make a lot more money. I'm questioning as to what it is about this job and about this service and about serving your home state, which I find to be so admirable, that keeps you in that job and in that office.
Well, I grew up in rural Mississippi. I always knew that I wanted to be back here. I always knew that I wanted to raise a family here, wanted to be near my family. And so really, when I finished law school, it was a no-brainer for me. I didn't even take interviews at any of the big Wall Street firms, the big D.C. firms or anything like that. I purposefully turned down those interviews and came back here to Mississippi, started practicing law for a little bit. And, And I was really fascinated by this office. I'd worked with some of the auditors on side projects previously. This office, the Office of the State Auditor, gets to do criminal investigations, but we also get to do big studies of waste in government. And I could think of no better use of my time and my professional capacity, whatever abilities I may have, than to dedicate it to this thing, because this thing, this office, can make people's lives better in my home state. And so, I'm grateful to have the job, frankly. I think it's super fulfilling, and grateful to work with a team of 135 men and women who are highly capable, very professional, and do a great job every single day.
The name of the new book is Mississippi Swindle, Brett Favre and the Welfare Scandal That Shocked America. The book is now out from Steerforth Press. Shad White, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you all for having me.
Be well. Thank you. Again, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.